Power to dream, cowboys.
Welcome, everyone, to the HBO Boys podcast. On this podcast, we recap and review HBO shows and HBO Max original content. We are kicking off our recap and review episode by episode, scene by scene of the hit HBO series Barry in preparation for its upcoming third season. I'm James, and with me, as always, is Ryan.
Hello. Yes, as we previously mentioned, we are a recap and review podcast. We now mention that because we've had people listen to the show and be like, you talk about what happens, and I hate you and that. And then we're like, well, we're sorry. And they're like, we give you one star anyway, so you're the worst.
It feels bad.
Yeah, it feels bad. It makes us feel bad, but it doesn't matter. We're getting into Barry, and James, the beginning of this podcast 5 years ago, two names ago, in fact, when we were the Westworld podcast way back in the day, we were there because we wanted to have a podcast, you and me together. We are friends on the opposite side of the globe who keep in touch through this podcast. We enjoy goofs. We enjoy LARFs, and we like to talk about television shows, but also we were clout chasing because that's the way of life. You ain't chasing clout.
Yeah, you get that paper.
Yeah, exactly. So Barry is a return to form for us. I looked up the show that gets the most people watching it on HBO. It's Barry, and now we're here.
And we've given ourselves a good amount of time. There's 8 episodes per season, and there's about 2 months until the premiere of season 3, so we should run smoothly right into it.
Absolutely. If you guys are not aware, Barry is a show on HBO starring Bill Hader, the summary of which is a hitman from the Midwest moves to Los Angeles and gets caught up in the city's theater art scene. And I want to say this right up front, James, as an upfront discussion. The question that I'd like the audience, y'all, and us simultaneously to really ponder throughout this podcast is Barry a comedy? Question mark. Because these days, dramas have like funny moments, and more so these days, where it feels like the lines have been blurred between genres completely. But here's the problem. When it comes to Emmy time, this show is submitted as a comedy, and much to the dismay of many comedy showrunners, because it takes a nomination spot from quote-unquote pure comedies. But in 2019, it lost to Fleabag, which makes sense. Fleabag is a generational piece of entertainment. It lost to Marvelous Miss Maisel in 2018, which I have not seen, but the world says it's good. And I'm sure season 3, when it comes out this year, will be nominated in 2021 and lose to something else. But... on an individual level, Bill Hader has won Outstanding Lead Actor in a Comedy Series twice for both seasons of this show, beating out last season A Good Place, end of series Ted Danson. Assumably, if this season 3 had made 2020, he would have been nominated once more, but lost to Eugene Levy for Schitt's Creek because they won fucking everything, and deservedly so. On the same side of that scale, Henry Winkler won Outstanding Supporting Actor in a Comedy Series in 2018 for this show, which we'll get into later because, you know, he's been waiting 30, 40 years for an award, so I'm glad he got it. But anyway, this is a question for you, James, and everyone listening with us. If at the end of this season, is this a comedy? And does it matter? Like, is the only person on Earth who's mad about this being called a comedy Michael Schur, the guy who made The Good Place? Because he's like, wah, Ted Danson should have won, wah.
Well, I wonder, it's strategically, and I'm sure nobody is thinking about this on the production side, but probably the field of competition in comedy is a little bit easier than it is in drama, right? If you're just thinking about racking up those awards.
I mean, I assume so.
It matters to somebody,
I guess. And again, this is the most watched show on HBO. It's created by Bill Hader of SNL, Inside Out, The Skeleton Twins, numerous voice roles, including Bob's Burgers, a stint on a South Park as a writer, and Alec Berg, an EP on Silicon Valley, a producer on Seinfeld, Curb, a writer on Conan, and of course, a writer on the 2003 Michael Myers vehicle, Cat in the Hat.
Yeah, what a pedigree. He also does a lot of voicing for The Venture Brothers, which is a show that is a deeply personal favorite of mine. And he was also on the Mindy Project a lot, which I liked a lot. Yeah, he's good. He's not one of my favorite actors. I end up like getting him confused a lot with Michael Shannon, but Michael Shannon's like the drama version of Bill Hader, I guess.
Really?
Yeah.
Back in the SNL days, I would get him mixed up with Will Forte. By the way, MacGruber coming out again this year as a TV series, which I will say right here and right now, after we record Barry season one, episode one, we will be doing a bonus episode about our favorite TV of the upcoming year. Said bonus episode can be found on patreon.com/HBO Boys, Boys with a Z, for $1 or more a month. We make a bunch of hours of extra content and you can go do that just like with your money and hear what we're going to talk about, because I'm going to bring up MacGruber once more on that podcast. But anyway, Barry.
So I should say I went to the show totally blank. I had no idea what it was about.
You were naked and afraid.
Bill Hader was involved.
Yeah.
And this is now becoming a trend where like I just have these mixed up assumptions of what the show is going to be about. Because I'm like, okay, well, it's a show that Ryan likes. And previously on the show, Ryan mentioned a show about a guy who's like an amateur rapper. Maybe that's this show. And it wasn't.
Did you think this was Atlanta? Starring Donald Glover?
No, it couldn't have been that. I think he mentioned something else.
Right. If you thought it was that, you're a terrible racist.
Like, it's like Dave or something?
Oh, yeah. That's a good point. Dave on FX starring Lil Dicky. No, it is not that. This is about a hitman played by Bill Hader.
The episode begins, he has just wrapped up some hit. He shot a dude in bed. He goes back to his shitty apartment in Cleveland, and immediately I'm thinking like, wow, you know, you take the job of killing people for money just so you can live like a normal asshole in a shitty apartment that you could probably afford if you were like a barista.
Yeah, like a hitman normie whose life does not look like it matches the amount he has to go through to gain his job title. He takes a drama television show / Lifetime shower where he puts his hands on the wall and thinks about his life. He plays video games. And it shows on his wall that he's a combat veteran when Steven Root of Dodgeball fame, playing a character named Fuchs, wakes him up.
He chides Barry for taking a little too long on that shooting the dude who's asleep mission. He's saying, you got to stop just lying around in bed all the time. You got to get out of this funk you're in. Just do the job and get out. And good news, I've got a new job for you for a bunch of like Chechenian mobsters in L.A., they put a hit out on somebody, so I'm going to fly you out from the airport in Canada somewhere.
Yeah, he makes Barry drive to Ontario because it's cheaper. And he also mentions, like, okay, you got to take these kind of jobs, the more high-profile ones. I don't know why I was Australian for, like, a second there. But you got to do this kind of thing because we're going to hang it up one day. One day we'll be done with this life.
Right, after they get their big score. So they meet with the Chechenian gangsters, and the mob boss is Glenn Fleischer, who's come up on this show before. He's like the asshole bully in the movie Joker, and then he was also the terrible racist guy in Watchmen who torched a Jewish deli. So he just is always playing some evil piece of shit in anything he's in.
Yeah, you need a bad guy, a Nazi, white supremacist, mobster... just anyone full of hatred. And Glenn Fleischer can play that part. He is Goran, the leader of the Chechenian mob, or at least this sect of it. And his deputy is named Noho Hank. And he's played by Anthony Carrigan, who was relatively unknown prior to this show. He wasn't supposed to make it through the pilot. And spoiler alert, we don't get to see the end of the pilot. But I'm telling you now, James... he was in that car that gets shot up a bunch. He lives because they wanted him to live very badly. He was just so good at improv. Bill Hader was like, I'm not killing him off. I'm keeping him around forever.
So the mobsters put a hit out on somebody. And it's interesting that like in the last scene, Stephen Root's character was like, yeah, so, you know, we're taking out the bad guys. We're getting paid. It's a win-win. And the mobsters are like, yeah, we want you to kill my wife's paramour. She's having an affair with her personal trainer. And so you kill him for us.
So not like...
not a bad guy. Well, not a nice guy, but not like a... not a villain.
Right. Like an LA version of a bad guy. He's a personal trainer who is having sexual intercourse with a person he is training. Noah Ho Hank put a dash cam in the room and filmed it, and then makes Barry plus Goran watch the video, and Goran's like, why did you stop doing this? Why make that go away? I'd rather not watch my wife have sex with a stranger. Thank you very much.
So Barry flies to LA. He picks up his like shitty Volvo station wagon from the rent-a-car place.
A car that is near and dear to my heart. That is the car that like my family had as a kid. You know, we were a family who did hits together, so it all makes a lot of sense.
But the entire time Steven Root's talking him up, he's like, this is going to be a great job. I got you a sweet-ass car. And it's like a puke green Volvo.
Same color, too, for our family. The interior, same color. Very easy to get blood out of.
So he tails his Mark, Ryan.
That's my name. Relation, yeah.
To a community center, and he's at this point, he's staking him out to find the best place to kill him. And he goes to see what he's doing in there, and he interrupts this woman who's trying to go through her lines. And just seeing Barry totally throws her off, and she gets pissed off at him. And runs inside, and he hasn't said anything. He just looked at her.
Before he goes inside, he sees that the class's teacher, Gene Cousineau, played by Henry Winkler, who everyone knows who Henry Winkler. He's the Fonz. He's the guy who literally jumped the shark. And as you said, Sally Reed, played by Sarah Goldberg, gets mad at Barry for just like messing up her vibes, just like being in front of him for too long. And then Barry walks in to see where Ryan Madison, his Mark, has gone, but instead watches Sally be a part of her scene and see his dirty work on what his messed up vibes has done to this poor, poor woman.
Yeah, she fucks up her scene, which causes Henry Winkler's character to then like dress her down and humiliate her in front of the entire audience, or the entire class at least. And then that brings out the emotion that he did want to see in her. And this is a very, like, this is like a quintessential acting class moment, right? I've never taken an acting class, but you see them parodied a lot in comedies like this, where everyone's super serious and everyone's getting upset and then trying to channel those emotions into the scene. And eventually she does nail it because she's so upset about him talking shit about her in front of everyone. And then she thanks him for it.
Yeah. She's
like, thank you for humiliating me in front of everyone. The scene came out really good.
She says she loves him. And when he turned around after mocking her completely, and she was like, that's not fair, Gene. And he's like, yes, use that energy, bitch.
Then his Mark, Ryan, comes up to him and he says, hey, my scene partner's not here. I guess you're new here. This is a good chance for you. Why don't you run the scene with me? And it'll give you a chance to shine in front of our instructor. And Barry is so passive in everything. He's just like, okay, sure.
Right. He is just kind of floating through life. He doesn't understand much of which is going on. And then we cut to the stage, and Ryan Madison is, for his scene, playing the part that Gary Oldman played in True Romance, and Barry is playing the part that Christian Slater did. Now, I watched this scene from this movie because of Barry. Like, I went to go look at what it was compared to what Ryan Madison, the terrible actor, did with it. And True Romance, a Quentin Tarantino written movie where he didn't get to direct it because it was early in his career. It was after Reservoir Dogs, but Tony Scott, Ridley Scott brother, directed True Romance. Gary Oldman is in it. And I learned a few things by watching the scene from True Romance. One, Gary Oldman is the shit. He's so goddamn good. Two, I should probably watch True Romance. And three, Ryan Madison, nor anyone, can live up to Gary Oldman, but holy fuck, he is not it. He's bad.
Yeah, he's hamming it up like crazy, and he's like affecting an AAVE kind of vibe, and Barry just reads his lines totally woodenly. So it's like someone who's acting a lot versus someone who's doing nothing. So it's like, you know, Chris R. and Denny in the room, basically. But everyone loves Ryan's performance, and he gets a big applause. And so he's very happy with Barry. He's like, look, we did it. And, you know, I was the star of the scene because you did nothing.
Barry looks out into the audience. He smiles as he gets attention for anything else in his life other than murder for a very long time. The applause is like a drug he needs very much more of. and he walks out almost definitely forgetting, oh, right, I'm supposed to be murdering this person.
Right, because he got the acting bug now.
Yeah. Oh, you know that acting bug always replacing the murder one.
I've talked earlier on a Patreon bonus episode about how I, in college, did a single piece of legitimate theater, like non-musical theater, and I really enjoyed it, but I was not as into it as everyone else. Like, I was more into getting high and seeing the girl I was with at the time, and so I neglected my duties in the theater troupe, and everyone hated me for it. But it was a lot of fun aside from that, and I've always thought I liked, you know, to get back into just like community theater or whatever. And I, you know, I live in Seoul, South Korea, and I do know that there is like a English community theater troupe in Seoul, and I was like, all right, so when my kids are grown and I have more free time, I'm gonna audition for that and probably get the role of like the voiceless bartender.
Oh my god, I hope I can travel, James, once that occurs, so that I can go to Asia and watch my friend say nothing behind a bar.
They invite him out to the local dive where all the wannabe actors drink, and they're all very nice to him, especially Sally, who he takes a shine to. He's obviously like very attracted to her, and they are very nice to him, but to me this is like, okay, well, your guys are all aspiring actors in LA, so this is all phony. You all probably secretly hate each other and are jealous anytime any of you gets a shitty role as a corpse on NCIS.
At one point, my favorite line of the episode was said by Sally, where she says, I mean, do you think Meryl Streep or Kaley Cuoco just became stars because they were the best? Like, no. I love anyone putting those two people in the same sentence. Sally waxing poetic about being an actor for what I assume is the needed constant self-validation that this lifestyle requires. And then she's like, I think we dance now. Dance.
They ask Barry to drive Ryan home because he has a history of DUI.
Oh, perfect.
He takes him back, and Ryan tells him, like, hey, you need a stage name because Barry Berkman doesn't sound cool. You should be Barry Block because I look at you, I think of a block. And Barry, he's like, oh, thank you. That's so nice. I will be Barry Block, and not thinking like, oh, this guy's talking shit to me, to my face.
Yeah, that's my name now. But he also knows Ryan Madison's real name, as he tells him that Ryan Madison is the stage name, and he drives him home, so he knows his address too. So it's kind of all just working out from a hitman perspective, but I think he also wants to go to the next Gene Cousineau class on Thursday. What a dilemma this entire show will probably be based on.
And as Ryan gets out of the car, he hugs Barry, and this is bad because the Chechnyans are here too. And they see him hug him, and then they think because of that, that Barry is like bungling the job.
Yeah. Noho Hank, I believe his exact face is like, does he just hug him? What the fuck?
So the next morning he gets a visit from, is his name pronounced Fuchs or Fuchs? Because I've heard this name pronounced Fuchs as well, but probably Fuchs.
I really don't want to tell you because if you called him Fuchs the whole time, that would really just make my week. It's Fuchs, sadly.
Okay. So Steven Root's character, his like handler, Fuchs, shows up and he's like, Barry, the Chechnyans saw you hugging your mark. You're not supposed to hug them. You're supposed to kill them. Please get your head in the game or we're going to lose this contract and probably end up at the bottom of a river somewhere.
Yeah, he says something that I think Barry knew, which was, hey, listen, acting and being a hitman is not going to mix. You chose being a hitman. That closes a lot of avenues in your life that even if you want them, they're just not possible. How about you paint like Hitler or Gacy? That's what you are. You're evil. So you should paint by yourself in your house. And, you know, he's like, what are you going to do? You're going to be in a chicken commercial? And the guy is going to be like, oh my God, I saw you last week trying to kill somebody. And Barry's like, well, I don't think I'll do commercials. But I do really love this scene because one of them is a trained killer and one of them is good at talking. And the killer is still the beta who like needs to be gaslit and tricked. It reminds me of Space Jam, like at the end where the Monstars, the giant Monstars, are like, wait, why are we the ones who are being told what to do? The guy who's telling us what to do is so small.
But Barry, again, like, I want, has he always been this way? Did something happen to him? Because we find out later that he's a veteran. Because, like, he's so passive. And he's persistent in the fact that he wants to be an actor now, but like Steven Root talks him out of it like pretty easily. Barry does end up going back to the acting class, but he doesn't go inside. He's staking it out, waiting for Ryan. And Ryan never comes out. And then eventually Henry Winkler's character, the acting coach, Gene Cosnu, maybe? Did you say his name?
Gene.
We're bad at
Cousineau.
Names on the show.
Yeah.
He comes out and he's like, "Why didn't you come to class?" And Barry's like, "Well, I'm nervous. Do you think I'm good enough to be in your class?" "No, you're not. You read your lines terribly. It was the worst acting I ever saw." And then Barry then kind of emotionally launches into his own desires. He's like, "Yeah, I was a veteran and I kind of lost my emotions and I became very despondent. And then my dad's friend got me into this job of murdering people for money. And at first I enjoyed it. And now I'm right back where I was when I got back from the war. But I'm thinking, you know, if I can just recapture some of the positivity that I enjoyed when I was on stage, maybe I can get some semblance of my life back." And he says this to him, you know, in a very truthful way, which the acting coach misinterprets this as a performance. And he's like, "Oh, that was good.
Where's that from? That was an improv? Well, the story's nonsense, but the acting was spot on. Anyway, if you pay me for my class before you even get there, you can come." And Barry's like, "I'm Barry Block." And Gene Cousineau says, "Well, I look forward to this journey." Watch your toes as Gene Cousineau / the Fonz drives away. And it's this moment of like, okay, one, Bill Hader can actually act. He did a very good job acting. Two, I love that Gene Cousineau is like, "Oh, what movie is that from?" Because that can't be real. You were just talking nonsense. And three, Barry's like, "Yeah, I got money. I'll pay you ahead of time for in advance. A lot of for advance. I'm going to be in this acting class for sure."
However, it was established in his conversation with Fuchs that like he's going to keep his day job, right? Because starving actors should have a day job. And so he goes to finish his contract and kill Ryan. But when he gets there, Ryan is already dead. Because the Chechens are on the scene and they've just killed him, a silenced sniper rifle. And they go to take out Barry as well, but the gun jams. Barry says, like, "Hey, don't point the gun at me." And as soon as he does, Barry shoots them all and then walks off. And he's like, "Shit, fuck, I didn't want to have to kill them. Oh, well."
He was so unfazed having a sniper that was, by the way, jammed, but it gets unjammed. And the moment it does and is pointed at him, Barry pulls his own unsilenced pistol and shoots at three people, taking care of them rapidly. But like, he had no fear in his eyes. This was the moment where like, he's born for this kind of shit. He can do this. Acting's going to be difficult, but when someone points a gun at him, he knows exactly what to do. There's nothing to be afraid of. And he walks off. He throws the keys to his car. He throws the gun pieces all the way to the side. We see as an audience that there is a camera in NoHo Hank's car that will probably come up later. He goes to a diner and Melissa Villaseñor from SNL is his waitress. And she's like, "I'm an actor. This is a script I have for tomorrow." And Barry, as the episode ends, says, "Oh, I'm an actor too." Like in solidarity.
Right. I said just a single line during someone else's scene in an acting class.
Yeah. So this is my life now. And me and you are in this together.
But I got to say, I loved this pilot. I was totally engaged the entire time. And I got to say, as I get older, these hour-long episodes of TV can get a little dragging on me. This was a tight 40 minutes and not a single scene was wasted. Very, very nicely written, very nicely paced, very nicely edited. I had nothing bad to say about this. I loved it a lot.
Yeah, no, I like this show very, very much. I think the question of like, is it a comedy? No, not really. I mean, it's a dramedy, I guess you could call it. But there are truly funny moments in this show. The pilot, I would say, didn't have setup moments like expositional moments that were funny. They had lines that were funny. The Meryl Streep Kelly Cuoco line is a line for the ages. But I love action movies, ones with some thought put into them. I love the idea of like a Hitman movie with a heart. Hitman with heart is not new, right? But Hader playing him just like throws you for a loop. And I watched in the past most of, if not all, of season one. I can't remember the amount that I've actually watched. I know I watched the pilot for sure, but I look forward to getting to a point where like, okay, I have not seen this because I really do like this show.
I was gonna, in terms of like the dramedy aspect, it leans more towards comedy than say like Breaking Bad, which is a crime drama that is also very funny. But I would say Breaking Bad leans more towards drama. Like if we've got comedy as a 1 and drama as a 10, like Breaking Bad is like a 6 and this is like a 4, basically.
The best part about this show is the choices Barry makes just don't go together at all. And you know from the very beginning it's going to explode on him multiple times. Like if Barry yeah. Berkman was to achieve his acting dream, it would lead to his death.
Also, just in this episode, it's either join the acting class or go and kill Ryan. Not both simultaneously.
And he chose both. Like, the setup is so clear of like, oh, well, this is all going to go to shit for sure. Apparently, during the Inside the episode on HBO, Hader mentions that he flinched and squinted while shooting the gun during that ending scene over and over again. And he was directing the pilot. But the other showrunner, Alec Berg, behind the camera was like, you can't flinch when you pull the trigger, Bill. You're a professional hitman.
Right. And a veteran as well. So,
yeah, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Please go to the Keanu Reeves, John Wick school of being a hitman. You need to learn how to do this much better.
Yeah, I'm very excited to keep going on this. And I hope the listeners will stick with us, too, if you... a fan of Barry, you're going to go through it again before season 3, or if you're jumping on Barry for the first time, watch and talk about it with us week by week. We will be here next week for Barry, season 1, episode 2, Use It.
Mm. That seems like a Gene Cousineau line. Take that energy, bitch.
If you liked this episode, please listen to some more. You can also support the show by following us on social media. He's at Westworth Ryan. I'm at James Watches Men. You can also leave us a nice review on whatever podcast app you're listening to this on. And if you really like us and you want to underwrite the show and get more bonus content for patrons only, you can find us on Patreon at patreon.com/HBOboys. You get bonus content, a patrons only Discord chat where you can talk to Ryan and I and the other patrons, and we'll shout out your name at the end of the show.
Which is what I'm about to do right now. Sam Neary, Jamily Lochner, Anthony Wells, Harboiled Greg, Nicole, Day 11 Podcast, James Watch My Dong, Cliff Wilding, Atheism Unstoppable, Chris Wood, Brinken, Day 11 Westworld, Craig, Bachaman, John Jers, Major Woody, and Carol Andreas. Thank you for the money. One or more dollar a month? Dollars? Plural? For bonus content? This voice? With these inflections? What a deal!
And like we said, we have a bonus episode coming out this week where we're going to make our 2021 pop culture predictions of what shows we will like and what shows we will hate and what movies will succeed and what movies will fail. That's coming yeah. out this week as well. So you can check that out. The full episode on Patreon only. I'll probably release a little taste on the main feed to whet your appetite.
There is no phrase that makes me sicker and like, less like I want to eat than wet your appetite. It makes me so it's no, yeah. so
the
gross.
Word wet is not a pleasant. It doesn't hit the ear that well.
I'd like you to dry wet. My appetite just like bone dry like a desert.